How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. This show is actually recording. This is the first time we will be going on this, talking about this stuff, so that's kind of fun. We can just go ahead and say we rehearsed last night. We'll find out, based on the comments, whether or not it helped. As always, you can find all of our shows, except the ones we don't record, on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. And then, as always, I hope everybody is using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek. Great application. You save $20, all that good stuff. Today's show, we've already talked about point guards. That was Monday. We talked about shooting guards. That was yesterday. Today is going to be about small forwards. And it's pretty straightforward, right? It kind of comes down to two people. We'll go ahead and start with the obvious, which should be the obvious starter. That's Lou Alding. And then after that, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll expand the talk into the, we'll expand the conversation into about, Deng versus Ingram. And then we'll wrap up with the guys at the end of the bench, the Anthony Browns, the Nick Youngs, and an interesting, what might be a fun lineup option. We'll call it an option. We'll wrap up with that at the end of the show. So, without any further ado, Lou Alding, he signs for a four-year, $72 million deal?
Yep, you nailed it.
You don't give somebody that kind of money without anticipating him starting at least that first year, no matter who they sign afterwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he didn't get to start the whole first year, he'd probably just be saying, like, dang, Luke, I feel like I was misled in my free agency meetings. But that horrible joke aside, yeah, I don't see them not starting him after giving him that much money and bringing him in to kind of be one of the leaders of this team. I forget who it was I saw talking about it today, debating who might be the Lakers' captains this year. And they were saying Deng's probably going to be one of them. And I agree. I think he's probably going to be one of the team captains. I think he's going to be one of the team's leaders.
So that was Harrison, and I am Anthony, and this time it was Harrison making an awful joke. So that was a fun little switch up in how the show usually works. That was exciting. It wasn't a good joke, but you tried. That was
How many shots are you going to take at me today, man? First you had the recording stuff all in the, during the intro that I had to sit quiet for, and then it's like, and then this, like, just humor me. Just laugh. That was, come on, just like, I need a pity laugh.
Ha.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so
Lou Alding.
I agree about the captaincy. I wouldn't go so far as to say, I don't think Timofey Mozgov should be a captain, just because of the contract.
I don't think Timofey Mozgov will be a captain.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to extend that reasoning out, right, because some people might.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I just think the reason I was saying Deng by default is also partially just because he's so well thought of around the league.
I don't know
that I've ever heard anyone say a bad word about Lou Alding ever. Podcast, on TV, other than like Danny Ferry. But other than that, I don't think that I've heard any negative words about Lou Alding, throughout his entire career, just reading podcasts on TV, talking to people, anything. Like, this guy is just like as close to universally well-regarded as you possibly can be. Like, I just, like, his approval rating has got to be, like, in the upper 90s.
Yes. And on top of all the locker room stuff and everything that he brings, you know, off of the court, on the court, he has quite the resume. I wouldn't necessarily call him a Hall of Famer by any stretch, but I would say that he's, you know, right on that borderline. Guys that, you know, you kind of look back at decades after they're done playing and say, man, that guy was really good.
You know? Yeah.
So, and having somebody like that who has the skills right now to still be, to still demand the respect of his teammates on the court. And then, you know, the resume and the reputation that you spoke about earlier, it makes a ton of sense that he would be the captain and you know, easily the starting small forward. My question is, how long does that last?
That's a question that I've been debating myself over the last couple days as we've been kind of writing and covering the whole Brandon Ingram is going to be coming off of the bench storyline that kind of got finalized this week, and that it was made clear by Luke Walton that that's what's going to be happening. And so I've been thinking about that, and it's like you can't see him coming off the bench for that. I think for this year, I can definitely see it going on all year. But going into next season, it would be kind of weird if the second overall pick wasn't starting by then, right?
Yes.
Like, just as a status thing, we talked about status with Luol Deng, and as a status thing, it would be kind of weird if by next year Ingram wasn't starting. So that does kind of pose some interesting questions about the Lakers roster planning here and where they ultimately see Deng going. I think the thing that makes it easier is that Deng's going to be getting a little older and may start to kind of more gradually accept being phased out or being phased into a smaller usage roll off of the bench. The comparison that people keep making is Andre Iguodala in Golden State, and the Lakers aren't going to be that good, so it's a lot harder to convince guys that are as accomplished as Deng to come off the bench when your team's still not going to be that great. But I could see him in that type of role where he comes in and takes turns on scorers and ends up playing with kind of the best small lineups and those types of things.
The coming off the bench thing, I think for me, this is my – and actually, you want to take a break and then come back and talk about, you know, the Ingram and that stuff first?
Or sure. Let's go. This was a really seamless break. All right. What do you got for us?
So, all right, quick break, and then we'll talk about Ingram and Deng. And the purpose of this break is to talk about the entire Locked On Network, which has been incredible to watch come together. It's been really cool to watch all these voices get received the way they've been received, and it's for a good reason. There are really good shows across the entire network. You have every single team pretty much between the NFL and the NBA is covered.
Just about,
all of them are covered by people who are extremely knowledgeable, who think of interesting ways to talk about their teams or the teams that they're covering. And case in point, you know, throughout the entire NBA and throughout all of Locked On NBA, we are all going through all these team-wide previews, these positional previews, and we get emails almost daily on ways to more creatively cover these teams that, again, are throughout the entire network. And all of that stimulation between, you know, writers, podcasters, radio people, TV people has led to a really cool product. So if you don't root for the Rams out here in LA, it's not all that irregular that people wouldn't necessarily root for the hometown football team, because it's so, for one thing, they weren't the hometown football team for like 20 years. And then on top of that, it's a whole bunch of transplants out here on the West Coast. So if you are like myself, I don't know, I'm not going to go into why I root for the Vikings, but I root for the Vikings. And there's a great Locked On Vikings podcast with Sage Rosenfels, who used to play for the Vikings. And yeah, it's that case throughout the entire network. So go ahead,
like,
and check out all those shows.
If you're Bill Simmons and you're listening to this podcast because you're, you know, scouting talent and you know, you want to listen to a podcast about the Patriots, you got Locked On Patriots just sitting there waiting for you. So thanks for listening, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, Bill. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on to Brandon Ingram. I almost called him Andre Ingram. Who's Andre Ingram?
Andre Ingram was our guest a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
On the podcast.
I
the
knew it sounded
greatest
familiar.
3-point shooter in D-League history and defender small or shooting guard last year.
And he was great. Check out that podcast, everybody. But Brandon Ingram is and so the point I was going to make before we went to break was why I think there's a case to be made about Brandon Ingram starting this year over Luol Deng as the year goes on. And it's that, one, the Lakers made a 4-year commitment to Luol Deng, right? And while it is, you know, easy to just say, well, you know, let's just get whatever we can out of the first couple years of this and then kind of eat the second half of that contract as the cap continues to go up, that's not necessarily a smart way to invest your money, right? Especially for a rebuilding team that needs to, you know, in a cap league that needs to be smart about basically every penny that goes out that door. So the long-winded point that I'm getting to is with Brandon Ingram, if he starts, of those two players, Luol Deng is better suited to come off the bench in that four spot, right? Or, you know, he could play both the three and the four, whereas Brandon Ingram is not. You know, we talked yesterday about, you know, conserving his energy and conserving his physical health by playing him at the two in some cases. It would do the opposite of that thinking would play him occasionally at the four. So as of, you know, as we get into later in the year, if Luol Deng starts slowing down a little bit and the Lakers are concerned about his minutes because Tom Thibodeau ran him directly into the ground, there's actually a crater in Chicago that says Luol Deng was here. It's kind of a cool.
He just came straight out the other side, yeah. And in Miami.
Yeah, it was it's a cool little monument. You guys got to go check it out sometime.
Yeah.
But with Luol Deng and all those minutes that he compiled in basically everywhere he's played, why not, you know, kind of stretch him out as much as you can so he can be as effective as he can possibly be in year four of the contract, so it's not just dead weight.
That's actually a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of, and I guess that is a good argument along with the fact that the Lakers should be well out of playoff contention by then to just kind of give him a little bit of a rest down the stretch. And we're not saying just bench him and mm-hmm. just don't play him at all for the entire second half of the year, but manage his minutes and kind of give those younger guys a few more opportunities than they were already getting, because it looks like they're going to get plenty this year regardless. But I can definitely see your reasoning there. I still think it's going to be kind of a hard sell to get him to come off of the bench on a really bad team. I mean, maybe, I don't know. By all accounts, he's a pretty selfless guy. So maybe by the second half of the year, he's kind of, you know, I started my token games. We're not in playoff contention. Let's give Brandon Ingram these minutes to go ahead and grow for the second half of the year. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they play this throughout the year.
The way I'm kind of looking at it is, like, the Spurs, in the middle of playoff hunts and seeding hunts, have no problem whatsoever benching regular guys, you know, and they've been able to do that because the guys that are backing those guys up are ready and willing to take on, you know, the increased roles that night, right? And in doing so, their entire team stays fresh throughout the year. So with the Lakers in basically a complete rebuild, why not set down that foundation? Why not lay that foundation where you have basically an entirely new team and the core pieces of the franchise are entirely young, and that you can kind of set that precedent of, guys, we look at the season as a marathon, not a sprint. And if the Lakers aren't even going to be in the playoff hunt, or when the Lakers aren't even going to be in a playoff hunt, why stretch somebody that you absolutely don't have to?
Yeah, especially when you have such a promising young player behind him. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, just to kind of move into our next little bit, you know, it is kind of interesting that the Lakers went after Luol Deng despite having just drafted Brandon Ingram. Not only did it kind of show that they wanted to get better right now. They wanted to get a little bit closer back to respectable. But I just think that it also kind of speaks to how ready they think that he is. And they think that it's going to be a little bit of a process to get him to fulfill his entire potential, which is like it's sky high. I just see that he's not ready to do it just yet.
Yes. And that's not a criticism of Brandon Ingram. He is, I believe he's the youngest rookie in this class, right?
Yeah. He's only going to be just having turned 19 when the season starts.
Right. So I would say.
No, he's our second. I think second youngest. I think Bender might be slightly younger.
That dragon. You brought up, or you kind of asked, you know, you made the point that it was interesting that the Lakers went after Luol Deng after having drafted Brandon Ingram. And to me, it was, I actually really liked the signing. Now, the length and the amount of money I wasn't thrilled about, but you aren't going to get Luol Deng to basically say, I'm cool not competing for championships until my retirement, right? Without overpaying like crazy. So
yeah,
this was by no means a Mozgov signing. I like the signing because I can't think of many players in the NBA who are more perfect for Brandon Ingram to learn from.
Yeah, you have a small for a defensive minded small forward that also went to Duke.
Not only that, but you have a defensive minded small forward who I believe in terms of the measurables is very similar. Now I think Ingram has longer arms and is apparently still growing, so he might wind up being taller.
And also weighs approximately like 100 pounds.
Yeah, he weighs as much as one of Luol Deng's shoes. But yeah. When Deng was drafted, he wasn't a big guy, you know. He learned and he matured and he was able to add weight where he needed to, without putting additional stress on the rest of his body, which is always a concern when you're talking about adding a bunch of weight to a young kid. But on top of all that, he played alongside Derrick Rose for a good portion of his career, right? So you're talking to somebody who carved out a niche for himself and made himself as effective a player as he possibly could be while playing alongside a ball dominant point guard, and Rose and Luol Deng were the two centerpieces of this of that Chicago Bulls run, you know, with Joakim Noah playing really well on occasion, and then unfortunately Derrick Rose gets hurt and that, you know, the wheels kind of fell off that cart, but Deng as that second, you know, I hate saying second fiddle, but that 2A star, if he could teach Ingram how to effectively and efficiently adapt to the role that he might have to with D'Angelo Russell having the ball as much as he's going to have, that's the best case scenario. And that's exactly why that signing, which, you know, it kind of blew me away. I was really excited about the forward thinking that they applied with the acquisition.
The problem that I think a lot of people had with the Luol Deng signing was like, oh, why are you signing him? You just drafted Brandon Ingram to play small forward mostly and with the second overall pick, and it overlaps with talent that you have on the team. But at some point you have to acquire some overlapping talent, and that's just called depth. That's just something that we kind of got into, you and I, when we were talking about Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle over the summer and how it wasn't really a problem to have two good small forwards to be able to platoon back and forth. And I kind of look at the Deng signing. It's not the same thing, but it's a similar thing where you can't, because the Lakers have promising young players now at almost every position. So you can't just like not sign anyone and just hope that those guys magically get better this year and, you know, really show out all of their talent. You have to put veterans around them and you have to put capable players around them. And so I think that the Deng signing kind of speaks to their awareness of that they can't just completely ride with this young core. They have to get other players in there that are, you know, competent as well.
And to that point, the team that comes to mind is the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? And how all of a sudden, you know, they went from lottery to holy crap, this team could be a dynasty in a flash because all those guys came together and grew and matured at the exact right time. and all of them hit like their absolute ceilings, right? There wasn't any of them. There wasn't any of them that you know didn't quite. I guess Jeff Green is the only one, but they were able to trade him away before we kind of figured out, yeah, no, he's not really going to be very good. But even while that was going on, and the point I was going to make was Kevin Durant credits guys like Kevin Ollie greatly for all those guys' maturity. And in this case, we might have a Kevin Ollie kind of situation, but with Lou Alding, who was a better player than Kevin Ollie was, right? And I'm not saying, let's not run away with this. I'm not saying that the Lakers young guys are all going to mature and be, you know, the Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, whatever.
No, they're going to be Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry, I think, is the D'Angelo Russell one that people are running with. And I think Randall is like a Draymond Green, but with a better handle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Larry Nance Jr. is also Draymond Green, but more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was Jordan? What's our favorite comp for Jordan? Oh, Russell Westbrook is our favorite one for Jordan Clarkson. So, yeah, they do have a Westbrook.
I'm really excited about having two really good Draymond Greens who don't have Draymond Green's kind of annoying tendency to kick people in the nuts. Like that's kind of nice that the Lakers have that to build with.
Well, I don't know. He didn't start doing that till later in his career, so maybe they'll grow into it. That's something the Lakers got to watch out for. Clearly,
I mean, I don't know how Randall and Nance take in that they develop that tendency after seeing what it did to the Warriors this year. I don't know if anybody was watching, but the Warriors actually lost a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Okay. Breaking. So all that sarcasm aside, though, it's gonna be interesting to watch this young core grow kind of outside of the specter of the Lakers former coach and Kobe Bryant and just kind of the ISO ball crap fest that was, you know, ensued last year.
Mm-hmm. All right. We said it last night, and as I was saying, it didn't feel good. After the show, it didn't feel great. And I just want to make it clear to everybody, I'm not excited to watch the Lakers without Kobe Bryant because I dislike Kobe Bryant. I'm excited to watch the Lakers without Kobe Bryant because of the player that Kobe Bryant developed into. Those are two huge different, because I had people in my mentions a little bit today, not very happy with some of the takes that come out of my mouth regarding Kobe. That's not what was going on. I love what Kobe Bryant once was. Dodgers just lost. But but whatever was going on between that guy that we aren't allowed to say on the show and Kobe and the extension that guy once was made for a really annoying relationship with the rest of the guys on the roster. And I think this year is going to be fun to watch a whole bunch of high character veterans try to help a whole bunch of highly talented young guys in this scenario. And I think the epitome of that relationship is going to be how Lou Alding and Brandon Ingram get along.
Yeah, and we get to see that outside of letting the world's biggest Kobe stan run the franchise, run the day-to-day operations of the team.
Exactly. So, moving on, unless you have anything else to add on the Lou Alding, Brandon Ingram thing. Do you think we'll see very much of those guys on the court at the same time? Because I actually think we might.
Yeah, I think we will, because I think that the Lakers are going to end up playing Dang at the four a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
I know it came out today, and Mark Medina's he's been killing it in the lead up to training camp. Just, for like the three people that listen to this podcast that don't follow Mark Medina on Twitter, like, go do that.
Yep.
I don't know how you're like a Lakers fan and not doing that. You should definitely be doing that, but he's been writing some
great
stuff.
Although we do appreciate the support to those three people. Just also follow Medina.
We like that you found us, but we're just trying to help you find others.
Exactly.
And so, Mark's been doing great kind of team previews and had a lot of great stuff on kind of what the Lakers, the progress of the Lakers on addressing their deficiencies kind of over the summer. And in his piece on Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle getting better as shooters today, I thought there was an interesting note in there that Luke Walton has been talking about, I guess, that he's planning to give Randall reps at center during training camp, which I think is something that we all kind of assumed would happen, but I don't know that he had really been on record as talking about it. But so now we know that that's something that's going to happen. And if Randall shows Luke enough that he says, okay, I can play him at center a little bit, then I think that we will see I think there's an even better chance that we'll see more of Dang at the four and Ingram at the three at the same time.
Right.
Although we could see that with Dang at the four. That's not necessarily, you know, dependent on Randall being able to play center. They could do that with Mozgov at center if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And what if Randall does move over to the five? That puts an absolute necessity on the rest of the team to become decent perimeter defenders.
Yep.
Because otherwise there is nothing at the rim. All right, we'll talk about the 4-5 stuff over the next couple days, but we do have a couple guys at the end of this rotation. I don't think there is a steeper drop-off on the roster than there is at the small forward position, where you have Luol Deng and Brandon Ingram, who look like they're going to be, you know, they're going to get the vast majority of those minutes. And then
going to say they look like they're going to be really good. And I was like, yeah, that Luol Deng kid, he's going to be great one day.
Yeah. Just wait till he's 50.
Yeah.
But what I went with, with the guys at the end of that rotation, it's like Luol Deng, cool. Brandon Ingram, all right. Nick Young, ooh. Anthony Brown, God. All right. Well, let's just hope those other two guys just play a whole bunch.
Hey, you got to chill a little bit on Anthony Brown. I thought he was a good defender last year. His shot obviously has not come around, and it's kind of hard to see minutes on this team. But if something does happen, you know, like Lakers fans go ahead and, rub your lucky rabbit's foot or cross yourself or whatever you have to do. But if Ingram or Deng does get injured and Brown does get inserted into the rotation, you know, if he can just make, you know, some of his threes, then all of a sudden he's a capable role player.
Right. And look, I don't mean to make it sound as if I'm crapping on Anthony Brown, who by
all... You hate him. Just be honest.
We share the same first name.
Kind of.
but it's just... like we keep on saying, if this happens, and if this happens, and if this happens. That's like Shaq saying, if I only made my free throws, I'd have more points than Karl Malone. Right?
You also would have shot a lot less free throws, Shaq.
but you know, I'm pulling for Anthony Brown because at the end of the day, that's just another good player that the Lakers have control over for the next couple of years. But if that doesn't happen, then you're looking at somebody who might have trouble making it in the league. Now, somebody pointed this out. I think it was Darius over at Foreign Blue and Gold, that a lot of these 3-and-D guys don't actually succeed with their first team and then find success with the second one. The best example of that being Danny Green, who completely fell off the face of the earth in Cleveland. And then
falling to Russia. Russia is not off the face of the earth. Russia is on earth.
I mean, Gary Kester lives over there, I guess. So
good point.
But for Green, he had this, you know, really disappointing stint in Cleveland. Goes to Siberia and then winds up in San Antonio and revitalizes his career, right? And that tends to be how this plays out. So the hope is that before we get to that spot, Anthony Brown is able to recover some of what we think he can possibly be and can make a few shots for the Lakers. But until that happens, then yeah, I mean, that the end of the rotation is pretty ugly.
Like every player that hasn't panned out yet, until that happens, you just have to assume that he's going to have a career resuscitation on the Spurs.
That's a great point. So that's, you know, we touched on Anthony Brown. Who's above whom in that depth chart? Do you think Anthony Brown's ahead of Nick Young? I guess so, right? Because
You have to be on the roster to be on the depth chart. So Anthony Brown is probably going to end up ahead of Nick Young by virtue of cut.
That's a very good point. So we touched on Nick Young yesterday. I don't think we really need to get on more of this.
No, we'll preview Nick Young, the small forward, who will also most likely not be on the roster.
I guess the one thing to say about you know, him playing potentially at the small forward is that it's more of a spot up, you know, in the corner type of position where a shooting guard tends to require more creativity to score.
And the other thing is like he did have success for D'Antoni in kind of that role when he was not allowed to, he was given somewhat of a dribble limit. He was not necessarily allowed to just take the ball. Like last year or the last 2 years when he came in, he was kind of expected to be the source of offense. And that, you know, he just can't do that. And then given the Lakers' lack of a system, when he didn't have the ball, there wasn't much he was able to do. So, I mean, if you're kind of hoping for a miracle and that Nick Young is able to get it together and play a little bit better under Walton than he did under the last regime, then you kind of, I guess, point to that he had success under D'Antoni. But I don't know. That's so far gone. I don't know. I just don't see it.
Yep. I agree with everything you just said. And then lastly, and we kind of previewed this at the very beginning of the show, and then we kind of sort of hinted at it last night, was Jordan Clarkson potentially playing some three. And we talked about it before the show. You seem a lot less interested in it than I am. Basically, for me...
No, you talked me into... I was trying to think of how it would work, but I mean, like, I guess in really small lineups for small minutes.
The way I look at it is this entire season, we know going in, there is not a single person from the Lakers organization talking about the playoffs. So if we are setting that understanding, and we are keeping our expectations there, why not mess with the lineups as much as we possibly can? Just have a whole bunch of fun and make all these 82 games basically an 82-game tryout for everybody involved with this Lakers organization. And with all that said, if you're going to play a lineup, or if you're going to try lineups with, you know, Brandon Ingram at the 2, or, you know, Luol Deng at the 4, or Julius Randle at the 5, why not mess around with a lineup of D'Angelo Russell? You liked Jose Calderon there. I kind of like Lou Williams in the 2 spot, and then Jordan Clarkson at the 3. And then, you know, you'll obviously need to have, like, you can't have a less than average. It would have to be Deng, I would say, at the 4, because you need some, you know, more length on the perimeter. And then you would probably need Timofey Mozgov at the 5 in that lineup, because you need the rim protection to make up for having those three guys being less than average defensively on, you know, at the 1, 2, and 3 spot. But I'd watch that lineup. That'd be a fun lineup to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting, I guess. I mean, the reason I was saying that I liked Calderon with that group a little bit more was just for the shooting, because, you know, neither him nor Lou Williams can guard a traffic cone on defense. And so you're
Shouts
not getting
Yee.
Huh?
Yee's really excited about that in practice.
Yeah, okay. So we get to go against traffic cones? I don't know. That'll be different than a chair, but I'm ready, I guess.
It's way brighter than that brown wooden chair.
No, so I think Calderon, I just think that his shoot, he's shown more of a propensity throughout his career to be an off-ball shooter. So I think that I would go with him if the Lakers were going to do that. But again, I mean, we're talking about very experimental small minute lineups here.
Right. Right. We'll only see this lineup, I would imagine, a handful of times total.
If at all.
So, all right, that's what we have for the small forwards tonight. Well, you're going to be listening to this today. Like I said earlier in the show, we've talked about point guards, shooting guards. Today, small forwards. Tomorrow was going to be power forwards, and then Friday will be centers. Fun week of shows. It's kind of fun to break down the roster the way we have. We haven't really touched. Tomorrow will be fun because, you know, we get the Randall Nance conversation that we've only had, you know, 73 times. But we get to talk about somebody like Yee, who we really haven't spoken about since he was signed, and, you know, a little bit more about Deng at the power forward. So look forward to that tomorrow. Subscribe to the podcast. If you aren't subscribed, you can find it on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers when you're using the SeatGeek app.
We will talk. Make sure that when you go and subscribe to us that you're leaving us a review, preferably 5 stars. That'd be nice. Tweet those screen grabs at us. We always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I haven't gone and checked, so if you've gone and reviewed the Mitch Kupchak voice that occasionally has made an appearance, we'll find out how that turns out. So that'll do it again for this show. We will talk to everybody again tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Devin George. Oh, crap. We were going to give the story. All right, quick story about Devin George. It's really, really good. This is reported to have happened. I forget who reported it. Devin George asked Phil Jackson for playing time over Kobe Bryant when he and Kobe Bryant were there together. Phil Jackson said, look, you can play Kobe for it. And George said, all right, I got this. And I think Kobe wound up beating him something like 21-2 in their game of one-on-one. So that's Devin George. I think that's the best Devin George story you're going to get anywhere. So shout
that's your
to
Locked
George.
On Lakers bonus Devin George story of the week.
Exactly. Again, we'll talk to everybody later.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.